Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
What's going to give us this urgency? What's going to give us this vitality for Christian life and Christian service? What will motivate us to accept the challenge of total commitment?
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. How would you describe your spiritual walk? Are you living with a sense of urgency and purpose? Or are you a little too comfortable or even lethargic? Today, we'll realize that it's critically important to keep our eternal future in mind as we live each day. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce his message titled, Time to Wake Up.
Do you ever feel spiritually sleepy? Do you feel that your spiritual life is becoming a bit stale, a bit too comfortable? Are you slipping into lethargy? Today, in our continuing study of Romans, Paul is challenging us to be spiritually alert. It's time to wake from our spiritual sleep. Let's face it, the Christian life is sometimes very difficult in this culture. But for followers of Jesus, our future has a significant impact on the present. There should be a sense of purpose, a sense of urgency as to how we live. What can we do? And why should this be a priority? In Romans chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, Paul gives us a magnificent motivation. It's time to wake up. Listen carefully.
How we live our lives is often determined by future expectations. The wise student works hard because of the certainty of future exams. The wise businesswoman works hard, organizes her business because of future market expectations. The wise athlete trains hard in preparation for the big game, knowing that it's not too far away. That is, the future impacts the present. It is the foolish person who lives purely for the moment and totally disregards the future. Now, for those of us who are following Jesus, our future has and certainly should have a tremendous impact on how we live today. There is an urgency for the Christian as to how we live our lives now. If we miss this urgency, we'll fall into spiritual lethargy, spiritual sleepiness, and you ask, well, what's going to give us this urgency? What's going to give us this vitality for Christian life and Christian service? What will motivate us to accept the challenge that Paul issues at the beginning of Romans chapter 12, that we would accept the challenge of total commitment? All of us who are following Jesus want to be totally committed. We want to be in it, and not just as a hobby, not just on the periphery of our lives, but we want Jesus Christ central in our lives, in our homes. But what will motivate us and shake us out of the very real reality of falling into spiritual lethargy? What will keep us spiritually alert? Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, Paul gives us the answer, at least in part. And as I find it a very challenging and a very motivating answer. Living a Christian life now is motivated by the nearness of the return of Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus is coming back? And what a motivation to live all of life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This truth that Jesus is coming back will keep us on track. I hope you understand that Jesus Christ is coming back, he's returning, and he's coming soon. Let's read our text as it's found in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Will you read it with me? Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Amen. Don't you find that very direct? Paul is saying, wake up. Here is a call to wake up, a time to wake up. The alarm, as it were, has gone off your sleep. And you don't particularly feel like getting out of bed, as it were, but it's time to wake up. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is returning. And the certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus is a motivation for holy living. Notice verse 11. If you have a Bible, turn there. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Paul says, besides this. Now, he's referring certainly to chapters 12 and 13. Because at the beginning of chapter 12, Paul has given us this magnificent personal challenge to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. I hope you've done that. That you come, as it were, to the altar, and you don't bring an animal, you don't even bring a gift, you bring yourself, you present yourself as a living sacrifice. And Paul has motivated us in the first two verses of chapter 12 by referring to the mercies of God. He says, I appeal to you, chapter 12, verse 1, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What does he mean, the mercies of God? Well, he's told us in chapters 1 through 11. He has presented the gospel, which is all of God's grace. He's made it abundantly clear that all of us have sinned, that all of us have blown it, and the way of salvation is not trying to observe the law. Not that there's anything wrong with the law. The law comes from God, it's good, it's holy, it's righteous. The problem is not with the law of God. The problem is with our hearts. We just cannot keep the law of God. All of us here mess up, we fail. And the answer to that is not to try harder, but it is rather to receive the grace of God. That this is the basis, and this is tremendous good news for us, by which God saves us. He acts in mercy. He withholds what we deserve, which is condemnation, which is judgment, but sends his Son in love to redeem us and to save us. So that he sends Jesus Christ, and there we see the love of God in that while we were yet sinners, Paul says, Christ died for us. Now that's a tremendous motivation, isn't it? That God has done all of this for us, and this salvation then changes everything. It changes how we live. Now we understand that there's something different. And no, we don't keep the law then in order to continue our salvation. We are saved, but as we think of the mercies of God and the grace of God, this motivates us to live for Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. But now here in the verses we read, he gives us another motivation. He sets the Christian life, as it were, in a framework of the end times, in a framework of eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the end times, what is happening. He's saying this. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. You see, our final salvation is assured. You said, well, I thought we were saved. Yes, but Paul is presenting salvation in its fullness. He's presented our salvation from our past sins. We call that justification. That day when we came to Christ as a sinner and we came to the foot of the cross and our sins were forgiven. And God from heaven, as the perfect judge, looks down on us and he justifies us. He declares us righteous, not because we've done righteous things, but he declares us righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That righteousness is credited to our account. And so we can say in a very real sense, I am saved. But Paul, and if you remember this in chapter 6, 7, and 8, he talks about our present salvation, our sanctification. That is, now that I am saved, in the wonder of the indwelling Spirit who helps us, because we certainly couldn't do this by ourselves, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. I trust you are. Some of you are new followers of Jesus. Some of you have been following him for 10 years or 20 years. I trust you're becoming more like Jesus. We call that our sanctification. But now Paul is anticipating our final salvation, what he calls our glorification. He's told us in chapter 8 that those whom God justifies, he glorifies. You say, when will we be glorified? There's no one yet glorified. We will be glorified when we see Christ. And that is absolutely certain because it's based not on our achievements, but it's based entirely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, Paul is saying here that the Lord's return is very near. Never have we been closer to the return of Jesus. Spiritually speaking, Paul is saying to the Romans and saying to us today, do you know what time it is? Wake up. My mother used to say that to me. John, do you know what time it is? Get up. Spiritually speaking, this is what Paul is saying. Do you not know what time it is? Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is far gone, verse 12, the day is at hand. Now, what's this day? It's the day of the Lord's return. Paul writes that the day of the Lord is like a thief in the night. When the thief comes, he doesn't advertise he's coming. He comes unexpectedly. He comes suddenly. And that's the point. The Lord Jesus is coming. We don't know when he's coming, but the fact of his coming is absolutely certain. Therefore, wake up. Paul is referring now to what we call the rapture. That is the return of Jesus for his own. That is the next event in God's prophetic calendar. As far as God is concerned, this is what's going to happen next. The next event in prophecy is not the Antichrist coming. It is the return of Jesus from heaven for his own. I sometimes quote at funerals, but it's a truth for any time. The words of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 14, when his disciples were so troubled, he says to them, I go to prepare a place for you. Where was he going? He was going to heaven. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. What's Jesus saying? He's saying to the disciples, don't be discouraged. I'm coming back for you. Do you remember the disciples had that wonderful privilege of seeing the Lord go up into heaven after the resurrection described in Acts chapter 1? And the disciples see these two men in white robes. And these two men in white robes say to the disciples, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. He said he was coming back. They had heard that truth from the lips of the Lord. Now they're hearing it from these angelic beings declaring the word of God to them. Yes, you saw Jesus go up into heaven, but I want to remind you, as he went up, so he is coming back. So what is the rapture? You may have heard the term. It refers to the coming of Jesus from heaven for those saved by the grace of God. None of us really know someone else's heart, do we? God knows his children. God knows those who have come humbly to the cross and received Christ as their Savior. The Bible warns us, Jesus warned us, of those who only make a lip profession, of those who say, Lord, Lord, but there's never been a supernatural experience of Christ. They've never been truly saved. When Jesus comes back, he's coming for those saved by his grace. And in that great event, as the Lord comes to the air, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. Who are the dead in Christ? The dead in Christ refer to our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in Jesus, who have died. I've attended many funeral services. But when the Lord Jesus comes, think of the wonder of this. Husbands, wives, parents, brothers, sisters, friends, all those who have died, they will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, if this were to happen right now, we who are alive, those of us who know Christ, we will be caught up. Think of it. We'll be caught up and we will meet them in the air. That will be incredible, meeting our family and friends in the air who have died years ago. But something more incredible will happen. We'll meet the Lord in the air. And Paul says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is an incredible truth, that Jesus Christ is coming for his followers, that there's a generation of Christians who will never die. What's the point? The point is this, the return of Jesus is imminent. It can happen at any moment. In the twinkling of an eye, says Paul, at the last trumpet. So Jesus is coming. He's certainly coming. He's coming soon. He is coming unexpectedly and suddenly, perhaps today. But the point is this, his return is near. Therefore, Paul is saying, this gives us a sense of urgency. This means that I live today in the light of that day. And Paul is going to tell us exactly what that means. And first it is to wake up, to realize that this is happening. Some of you are just drifting along in your spiritual life and you've forgotten this fact that life as you know it is not going to continue forever and ever. Number one, you could die at any moment. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ can come at any moment. There's men in the Old Testament, you can read it in 1 Chronicles 12, the men of Issachar, and it's told they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You know, every Christian should have an understanding of the time and to know what to do. Do you have a spiritual understanding of the times? Don't keep putting off that which you know you should do today. Do it now. The day is at hand. You've been thinking for a long time of witnessing to that neighbor, of sharing Christ with a family member or a colleague at work. You've thought about it. You know it's the right thing to do, but you've never done it. Paul is saying, wake up, do it now. The time is near. The day is at hand. Some of you have been involved in sin. In fact, you're involved in sin right now, and you know it's wrong. You know you should repent. You know that what you're doing does not bring glory to God. And you say, well, one day I'll get around to doing that. No, do it now. The day is at hand. Some of you are not at peace with a family member. There is someone you need to forgive. There is some attitude of bitterness that you have or hostility against someone. You know that is not right. Paul is saying, do it now. The day is at hand. Some of you have experienced the call of God to do a particular ministry, and you know God spoke to you, and you say, one day I'm going to get around to do that. No, do it now. The time is near. The day is at hand. Don't be spiritually lazy. The devil loves spiritually lazy people. And a spiritual lethargy. That's like the individual who says, you know, one day I'm going to get fit. One day I'm going to stop eating 3 hamburgers every day. One day, one day, one day. No, the answer is today. Don't be spiritually lazy. Don't be spiritually self-indulgent. It's time to wake up. Some of you have been saying for a long time, I really need every day to read my Bible. Don't just say, I should be reading my Bible. Say, in God's grace, today I'm going to do it. Now, because the day is at hand. What's the point? The nearness of the Lord's return. That spiritual reality, that spiritual certainty impacts what we do today. Now, this demands at least 2 things. First of all, the nearness of the Lord's return demands a change of clothing. Verse 12, look at it with me. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. That's the day of the Lord. It's at hand. It's right there. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Paul says in Ephesians 5 that we are children of light. Yes, we live in a dark world. We live in an evil world. But we who follow Jesus are of the light. The night is the present age. The night is the metaphor for darkness, for wickedness, for rebellion against God. The day is at hand. That is the age which is to come. In other words, the light of heaven comes down and brings light to us. The light of God dispels the darkness. That's what Paul is saying. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The future is to impact the present. And for followers of Jesus, the eternal, brilliant light of that eternal day impacts us here and now, and it dispels our darkness. We call the darkness sin. Darkness fell when our first parents sinned, and darkness and sin came into our world. And apart from the grace of God, Paul has told us in this wonderful epistle, we live in spiritual darkness.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a new lesson titled, Time to Wake Up. John will be right back in just a moment, so stay with us. As we continue in our study on the book of Romans, we're covering some difficult but important passages, so we want to make sure you get your copy of this study's special resource. As a companion to these daily lessons, John has prepared an extensive study guide packed with devotionals and supportive materials. It's called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, and it's the 4th guidebook in our series on the book of Romans, outlining chapters 12 through 16. It's free by mail or download, and it's easy to request when you visit us online at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. There, you'll also find our previous guidebooks for chapters 1 through 11. And you'll also have the opportunity to sign up for John's monthly email list. Be the first to know about upcoming resources and ministry updates by simply clicking the sign-up link on our homepage. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back at any moment? He did say, I will come again. He's coming soon, perhaps today. So don't keep putting off what needs to be done. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you waiting to repent of a sin or to forgive someone? Authentic followers of Jesus have a glorious future, and we must be ready for His soon return. What else must we do to be ready? Join me next time on The Verdict.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.